Testimony. What are you thankful to God for today? What are you thankful for? Eric? Amen. Amen. Thankful for her salvation. Who else? What are you thankful to God for today? Adult leaders, we want to hear from you too. What are you thankful to God for? Let's pray for Pastor McMenamin as he and Mrs. McMenamin have a baby here. Any day, any moment, right? Any news as of late? Nothing? Okay, no news. So they were due on Wednesday, so the baby just decided to stay put a little bit. Faith stayed put for, I think, 2 days. So that happened. Right, who else? What are you thankful to God for today? Yes, Vera.
I'm thankful that one of the people tried to, such a great job sharing God's word, that always profitable, that it is going to be profitable for them to know God's word and share it, and for the people that hear God's word spoken, to take the time to get to know who the Lord is and to grow in the knowledge of Jesus and to be, you know, they just be brave.
Amen. Yes.
Thank God for that.
Yes. Great job. Excellent job. All those. And Brother Jonathan, you're making copies of the DVD? So I think he's making about 10 copies of the DVD of those who presented up here. So if you're one of the parents and you want to get one of those, you didn't. I know Vera wants one, so because she didn't get to see her daughter do the presentation. She did a great job. All right, so we're gonna have. Why don't we have those results at this time? Okay, Brother Altamari, where do we put those results? We'll announce the first the spiritual, then we'll do the race. The race results, marathon after. Yeah, you guys can all go.
What? I'll go up there.
Why are you halting everything?
So I think that the grades were.
Yeah, actually, these are all over.
So they all over.
Yeah, yeah. So threes, and then there's three sixes. Then there's two threes.
There's eights, nines, tens.
And I think that the grades are working like this. Four sixes.
And we've got three quarters.
Okay. What were the grade breakdown again?
Third to sixth, seven to nine, and ten to
12. Okay. So three to seven. So basically, third.
Now, third place first, second place first. And if there is no third,
okay. So I'll. What if I do three to six, and then you do the rest?
Okay. Okay. So we got 2 and 1 here. Okay.
So I will start.
Mr.
Hodge,
can you give it to me?
Okay. And then
I'll do this.
And then, we can let Pastor do that one. Because that's the second.
You're in charge of all
that. Yeah, okay. So I'll do three things then, okay.
Okay, so these are the results from grades 3 through 6, not ages 3 through 6. So that would be pretty amazing. We have our first, second, and third place winner for grades 3 through 6. And third, okay, so the third place winner, now firstly, I want to say everybody did extremely well, and it was very hard for everybody to judge But since we were forced to pick, okay, we just had to, okay. And so the third place winner in grades 3 through 6 is Miss Holly Rice. Okay. Now, the second place winner in grades 3 through 6 is Zamora. And it was that was second place. Second place, sorry about that. And in first place, and everybody was so close. I mean, even the ones who came in fourth and fifth, they were all within a few fractions of points. They were
all
so close.
These are supposed to be girls and guys.
Oh, are they girls and guys?
Yeah.
Well, it just so happens that they're all girls.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So Lydia Rice came in first place. All right, and it was very, very close. So now, okay, so in that same grade category, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, and Messiah came in first place in the guys category. Okay. And I think that's all that I have, and we're going to have Mr. Schmidt take it next.
Okay, so I basically have two groups here. I got the 8th and 9th, which is one group, right?
Yeah.
And then 10th is another group. So let's just go to the 10th because there's only one person here, but I'll just read some of the notes here. Very comfortable speaking. She used to speaking to people. Says, they like the idea she read from scriptures. I see a fantastic here on there. Says some good comments here. Let's see what else we got here. Good presentation of people, and they liked your use of verses. And first and only winner with 365 points is Aubrey. So now for the let's see. So now we got 7th through 9th. We have two contestants, and let's see. Somebody's this one here. Comment says, "I didn't prepare, but however, very good presentation. I see here, great eye contact." They said, she didn't need visuals because she presented so well, and great forceful application. Great Bible passage reading, and so in first place we have Isabella. Second place, comments here, good application, great eye contact, I see a great introduction here, so a lot of good comments here, and our second place winner with 348 points is Armand. Armani, okay.
She's at work. Okay. Auntie Dominique will have to take that home. So,
okay.
There we go. You have a
communion. Pass the right hand to the preacher, boys, then?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, preacher boys. Wow.
Okay.
All right, so, read some comments here. Okay. Attract interest. Good. Good. Clarity of speech. Okay, use scripture, good application, brought home main point. This is our 7th grader. Personal experience, need faith to walk to the door. Good, good use of points, excellent use of audience participation, reading every other verse using responsive reading. Confident, but not too much, audience interaction with reading, explained verses, good. All right, so, first place. Hi, for first place, 7th through 9th, preacher boy, Paul Rice. Come on up. Great job, buddy. Hi. Okay, now, the other recipients, let's see the comments here. Okay, good illustration, good preparation, great message for teens on peer pressure. His points were brought to the current time. He used many Bible verses other than the main text, so he used cross-references. Each verse was thoughtfully explained. Excellent in name with the Old Testament Hebrew names, and mentioned old persecutors as well as recent. Good comparison to song Dare Be a Daniel. Well-spoken confidence. Wisdom. Excellent application. All right, first place, tied. Stephen Altamare. And 45 points. Excellent job. We have some up-and-coming preacher boys. I know more guys. We can get you, more of you guys involved in this. You can do it. You can do it. You can, just like those, a lot of the girls, you just surprise all of us. Messiah, he surprised all of us. So. Excellent job. Okay, now, thank you to all of our adult leaders. Let's have all our adult leaders stand up, and let's give them a round of applause, and then we'll take the
Mr. Hobbs, Julie, and Steve, and each one, Sarah and Mr. Frank Schmidt, thankful for each one. Yes, Dominique?
Can I just get a picture of each group first, second, third?
Absolutely, yes, yes, and we want to also get a full group picture as well. So, okay, so let's if you got first, second, or third in any of those categories, come on up. So our church photographer, Dominique, can get a picture. If you got first, second, or third in any of those categories, so Stephen, Paul, come on up. Everyone, come on up. Bella, Aubrey, come on up.
Bring your ribbon.
Bring your ribbon.
Over there.
At the end, we want to get a picture in front of the cross over here on the side of the church. That would be a great picture before we all leave. All right, let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, as we look into the Word of God before we give out our ribbons for the Olympic competition. Matthew chapter 4, everyone find a Bible. Find one there near you, around. There should be a few in a few Bible. Does anyone need a Bible? Matthew chapter 4. Julie, can I have a Bible? There's one over there. Matthew chapter 4. We're going to have an application message. A message for you, where you're at in school. How many are public school? Raise your hand if you're public school. Okay, how many are homeschooled? Raise your hand if you're homeschooled. Okay, quite a few. About the same amount. How many are Christian school? Raise your hand if you're private or Christian school. Okay, some there. Okay, so we have pretty well spread out between those three categories. So let us bow together in prayer, but I'm going to have you interact here to kind of share some of the things, some of the temptations and trials you go through in your Christian life and how the Lord shows us the pattern for victory. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this afternoon. We thank you for the great encouragement that this has been to each one, that you've enabled many to get up in front of their peers and to present truths from your word. Lord, we pray you'd help them to keep cultivating their talents, and we pray that for more next year, that they would desire to be used of you in this way, to be able to speak up in front of people the unchanging truths of your word. We pray now that you would work in our hearts, that you'd quiet our hearts, help us to focus on what you would have for us today from your word. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, how he died on the cross for our sins, that we might have forgiveness through his shed blood. I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't yet know Christ as Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. And for each Christian that is here, that you'd help us to grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made to bread." Okay, so we have here important truths from the Scriptures. And Jesus gives us the best example for how to fight temptation. There was some some pictures. If anyone finds some pictures that were right up here, I had some visuals. They might have gotten put to the side by right now. But at any rate, oh, here they are. I have them up here. Never mind. I have them. Okay, so the first temptation of Christ, as we see here in verse 3, is what? What did Satan, the tempter, try to tempt Jesus to do? Yes.
Eat
what?
Bread.
Eat bread. Okay, now this is just some artist trying to visualize for us what that might have looked like. Okay, now how does Lucifer, or how does Satan appear most of the time? Lydia?
In the form of an angel.
In the form of an angel. He doesn't come as the pitchfork and the horns. And although he does present himself in that way too, how many have friends or know people at your school that they're into witchcraft or they're into demonic symbols and they literally have to, you know, they have the pentagram or the goat head of Satan. How many know some people in that? Okay? Yeah, there are some people who actually worship the devil as he is really known, as the ugly, evil dragon that he is. But most of the time, guess what? Guess how Satan comes to us? He comes in the form of an angel of light. As it says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, says that he, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I mean, it says that he comes as an angel of light. Oh, I'm such a good, I want to help you out, teenager. I want to help you have more friends. Just do what they're doing. Okay, so what is the first appeal to Jesus there? The stones be made to bread. Let's go to 1 John 2:15. Let's go over there. 1 John 2:15. And you tell me what do you think this temptation appealed to with humanity in general? 1 John 2:15. To 17 is where we are. Okay, let's read these verses together. 1 John 2:15. Is everyone there? Okay, let's read them together. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Okay, so here we see what Jesus was fully God, but yet still fully man as well, fully human like you and I. So what was his first temptation? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or the pride of life? Lust of the flesh. To gratify the stomach. But what was he doing? What was Jesus doing for the past 40 days?
Fasting.
The human body can undergo 40 days of fasting. So next time you complain, you skip breakfast or lunch, guess what? You can do a lot more than that. And so fasting is a good exercise. It's a good discipline in the Christian life. Why? Because it teaches our body that it's not in charge, but our spirit is in charge. Our mind. Jesus has given us the mind of Christ and not the spirit of fear. And so fasting is a good exercise. It kind of helps discipline us back again, telling our body to, as Paul says, I beat my body under. I keep under my body. I keep under my body, lest by any means I should be a castaway. So that means he literally keeps his bodily urges under control in subjection to what he knows from the Word of God. Now, the Bible has to be first. Okay, so let's think of this. What are some temptations as teenagers that you face regarding the lust of the flesh? Okay, just call it out. Alcohol, smoking.
Drugs.
Okay. All right, let's go slower. All right, you got the idea. Okay, alcohol,
Drugs.
How many have friends that already are starting to drink?
Oh, I do. Okay.
How many have seen drugs happen at school? You've seen the deals, you've seen... Okay, now how are those people after they... You know they're getting the drugs, then they go home or wherever they go. Are they a nice person when they, you know, after the drugs are done, are they nice?
No.
No, they're right back into wanting the next fix. Okay, and it only gets worse and worse. The lust of the flesh, if we give in to the lust of the flesh, it will literally destroy our body. Our flesh is out to kill us. If you think about it, it is run by who? The devil himself wants our flesh to destroy us. Our sin nature. He wants to use our sin nature to take us down early. Okay? How many want to live a good long life as the Lord tarries? Okay? You want to be able to see your kids one day and your grandkids? Okay? So what is the devil trying to do with drugs, alcohol, adultery, the diseases that come along with those things? Okay? He's trying to get us to have problems and sinful choices that will destroy us with these diseases. Okay, what else? What other lusts of the flesh are there? Someone said phone. How is the cell phone, how can that be a gateway into the lust of the flesh?
Internet.
Okay, Savant, internet. What? What on the internet? Sahara?
Inappropriate videos.
Okay, inappropriate videos. Such as? I don't want the specific videos, but the genres. Okay, like, are you talking about music videos where there's not properly clothed people? Talking, you know, cursing? Any number?
Cardi B videos.
Okay. There's specific entertainers that are out to try to say, hey, be like me, listen to this style of music, be like me, like my music. What is she leading a whole generation of young people into? Destruction, literally. She wants you to destroy yourself with just, it's all about me, and I don't know that particular one and what all the lyrics are, but you think about it, they just want you to worship them. Dress whatever, however way you want, okay? So girls, if you dress like her, what's going to happen to you? Let's follow the long road. What's going to happen? If you dress like her, yes? What's that?
People are going to call me names.
Okay, they're going to call you names?
We're going to start acting like her.
Okay, you're going to start acting like her?
Want to be like her.
Okay, and an attitude. You'll have an attitude, okay? So you got to follow, what does the devil really want? He wants us to act like them, imitate them, talk like them, dress like them, and then you know what? You're going to have the same problems they do. If you go and interview each one of those entertainers and ask them, are you really happy with all this money you're making? All the entertainment that you have, all the fame that you have, the fortune, you know what are they going to say? No. They're looking for the next money deal. They're looking for the next thing. They're not happy. Why? Because sin does not satisfy. Sin doesn't satisfy. And if we ask these entertainers how many husbands or wives they've had, they say, well, I just don't get married. Well, okay, how many people have you had relationships with? You know what? They will probably name hundreds. Can you imagine that? Or at least tens. Okay, can you imagine that? What God made special for one person, a man and a woman together, that these entertainers think they can mock God. And they think they can do whatever they want. Well, guess what? Sin doesn't tell you where it's going to take you. Doesn't tell you. But it always leaves you empty. And hurting. So we need to look down the long road at the lust of the flesh. So what did Jesus say to the devil, going back to Matthew 4? What pattern did he give us to help us with these lusts of the flesh that are going to come, where our flesh is going to say, hey, do this, say that, look at this, eat that, do this. So what did Jesus say to Satan? Verse 4. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. You can fill in that blank with anything. Man shall not live by any type of appetite that the flesh has. Okay? Now, the flesh doesn't have all bad appetites. We need to eat, right? That's not a bad thing. But when Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights in prayer to God, that would have been a sin. Okay? And so, what does our flesh do? Our flesh takes what is normally good and makes it, and takes it to excess. It takes it to excess. So, the hunger urges, takes it to excess until we can't handle it anymore. Or takes that urge of anything. You name any fleshly urge, it can be taken to excess. And that's when it becomes sin. Sin in the body. Okay, so who's in charge? Is our hunger appetite, is our fleshly appetites in charge of us? Who's in charge? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God gave us a mind to be able to live by God's word. Okay, so the victory that we can have over the lust of the flesh is staying what? Staying what? Staying in the Word of God. We need the Word of God. The Word of God helps us say no to the lust of the flesh. We need to stay in the Word of God every day so that we can defeat that one. Okay, verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. Okay, here's an artist's representation of Herod's temple. Herod's temple was huge. It was massive, and so it was a very high place. If you can see this, it was possibly 7 stories high, 8 stories high. Very large temple. And so Satan, in his limited power, was able to take Jesus bodily up to that very high place where, you know, that was very dangerous. Very dangerous. So he said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Okay, here is a second temptation. What was this temptation? Remember 1 John 2:16? What would that temptation be? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life? What do you think? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Holly?
Pride.
Good. Pride of life. This is, I can do anything I want with my body because I'm invincible. Okay? How many have had a friend die in school, or maybe someone you know in school have died this past year? Anyone? I know Darnell, school has. Oakcrest, there was one of our local high schools here, there was two guys going out dirt biking. He got into an accident, died instantly. The whole school is shaken up, still shaken up by it. That was a couple weeks ago. You think you're invincible, right? At times, you think, I can do anything. Well, God tells us, no, we're not invincible. That we have to be wise and mature with the choices and decisions we make. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. That here, the devil says, okay, Jesus quoted scripture to me. So what is the devil now doing in verse 6? What's he now doing? He's quoting scripture back to Jesus. What's he quoting? Does anybody have a cross-reference Bible there that you know the passage that he is quoting? Does anyone have that in their Bible? Good. Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. Here, where that wonderful psalm is about abiding in the shadow of the Almighty and how God keeps us close to Him and how He shelters us and keeps us safe. Well, Satan twists two of those verses to now say, okay, now do something foolish and don't worry, Jesus. God will not let you die. His angels have charge concerning you, lest you bear your foot against a stone. You know, they'll bear you up. So here he's now quoting a nice protection passage for us when we stay in the will of God, to now he's twisting it to do what? Would Jesus be in the will of God if he did what Satan is suggesting? No, he's now twisting it for the believer to be out of the will of God, trusting in God's protection. Isn't that interesting? You know the devil knows Scripture really well. It says in James, it says that the devils also believe and tremble. The demons, they believe there is a God. So if you're here today and you say, oh, God's not real and I'm not going to listen to any of this stuff and what does it matter about Jesus? Well, guess what? You're not as smart as the devil is, nor his demons, because they know there is a God. They just want to rebel. So it's important to realize, hey, the devil knows God's word, but he wants to twist it. He wants to say, oh, do this out of the will of God and God will still keep his promise. No, God can't take the principles of his word outside of his will and make them consistent. This protection is for the Christian that's living in the will of God. Okay, and so Jesus, how did Jesus respond? Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, okay, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Okay, you just quoted me a verse, Satan. Well, guess what? I'm going to quote you the verses. The one that you're twisting out of context, let me tell you what the Scripture really says. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So here we see that Jesus responded to him with a very affirmative Scripture, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So next time we feel like we are invincible, next time we think, oh, I can do this sin, I can live outside the will of God because I am a favored child of God. I am a Christian. I'm the Lord's. Well, guess what? We are the Lord's, but there's consequences to pay still for sin. There's still consequences to sin. Okay, so what are some of the consequences to sin that even Christians have to bear? Yes, Karis? Good, excellent. Being sensitive and saying, Lord, you know, I've done this and I'm sorry that we get back in the will of God. Okay, what else? Every sin that an unsaved person commits, they'll get the consequence. Guess what? Every sin that a saved person commits will still get consequence, the same consequence. Okay, the difference is we're forgiven, we're on our way to heaven, but that we will still get the consequences. Okay, pride of life. Any questions about this, or maybe any applications you can think of that some of your friends that you know that they struggle with this, the pride of life. They think they can do whatever they want, and it's not going to affect them. Okay, anybody? Anyway. Yes, Sarah.
Sometimes when you're in high school and you're thinking about where you want to go, college or whatever, making a decision not based upon the big picture of your life, but hey, I'm really good at basketball or I'm really good at this sport, I want to go to college for this sport, you know, because I'm really good at this, instead of deciding to go where God is leading you, your pride kind of makes you kind of decide where you want to go instead of really where God wants you to go.
That's good. Good application. Okay, if you're a good basketball player, guess what? Even the really good basketball players don't get drafted to the NBA, you know, or the best baseball players. And so you better not put all your eggs in that one basket, you know, and that you better diversify. You know, it's better to be good at many, you know, one or two things really good than one thing that's not a guaranteed thing, especially like sports. And one injury can take you out of that. One injury, okay? So I don't know how many we have going, how many are going to college for sports, you know, that's your one goal. Okay, we probably don't have that. But that would be giving into the pride of life to say, that's the only thing I'm going to do. And now there's some that can do that. There are some that are very talented. But still, they have to put the Lord first. And sports can become an idol very quickly. Very quickly. Unfortunately, it takes a lot of people out of Sunday church, Sunday morning church, Sunday night church. So sports is one of the biggest idols in the United States today. And so we've got to be very careful to not let sports become our God. Okay, verse 8. Mr. Hodge, can you turn on the air conditioning? I don't know if it works, or maybe open up the windows here. I think it's a little bit hot here. Verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. I showed the wrong picture. So this is the picture that was really supposed to be for the lust of the flesh. There's the devil pointing to the loaf of bread, saying, just eat it, and just make these stones to bread. Okay, so that's the devil. The other one was not for that. Okay, now the last temptation of Christ. Verse 8, again, the devil taking up to an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Verse 9, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. Okay? So here, now he takes him unto an exceeding high mountain, a mountain where he can see all the vast kingdoms of the world. Okay? That probably supernaturally, he could see, you know, the kingdoms of the many different ancient world civilizations that were around 30 AD. And he showed it to him. Can you imagine? And Satan says, oh, if you'll just bow down to me, I'll give these all to you. You can have full run of all these kingdoms of the world. What would that appeal be to? Of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or pride of life? Paul?
Pride of life.
Nope. Pride of life was falling off the temple. Abigail? Lust of the eyes. Okay, so what appeal is the lust of the eyes? What was the real appeal? Every temptation of Jesus was a real temptation. It wasn't like the devil, you know, put something before him that he wouldn't want anyway, or that any of us wouldn't want anyway, okay, in our flesh. So these were all real temptations, but we know, of course, Jesus was victorious over them. Yes?
It was being like having it all, you know,
we don't have everything. Yes, having it all, having full control over the city system, the kingdoms of the cities, and all the glitz, the glamour, the fame, the fortune, the popularity. What appeal does that, what temptation is that for us? The lust of the eyes. What do we see? I hope no one's on their cell phones there in Tyler's row. Hope not. I see faces down. I hope they're in their Bibles. Okay. Okay. All right. Yes, what appeal is that to the lust of the eyes? What are some things that the devil tries to get you off track with as a teenager, with the lust of the eyes? Anyone?
Wait, what?
Lust of the eyes. Sarah.
Different things that your friends think are cool.
Okay. All right. Such as fashions. Or
music.
Fashions, music. Okay. What about fashions and clothing that may be popular in school but is not modest? So it doesn't cover up for guys, you know, the real skinny jeans, or, you know, where just your legs are like, you know, shrink wrap. Okay. Number one, it's not masculine, number one. Who is behind the fashion designs of the skinny jeans? Who's behind that? Does anybody know? What's that? The world, okay? It's the guy who first came up with it was back in the 70s, a guy named, I forget his name, but he was a French clothing designer. And guess what? He's also what? He's homosexual, okay? So what's he trying to do? He's trying to force men to wear clothing that's immodest. This was way back in the 60s and 70s. And now it just became popular back in the 2000s, okay? So it took a while, but even back in the 60s and 70s, there were some styles for men that was like that. But so what are we taking our, we're taking our clothing standards from a homosexual man who does not love God, does not love Jesus, he hates God, he's rebelling against God, and he's for, he's trying to say that all, that a lot of men have to wear these. Should we follow that?
No.
No, we as Christians, we have to say no. We have to say, hey, that it may be what some people are wearing, but that is not masculine, number one. And it doesn't cover up my body, number two. Okay? Just because immodesty is a problem with female clothes does not mean it's not a problem with men's clothes, right? It's a problem with guys' clothes too. So male and female gender have got to have standards. We have to have standards. If your standards are whatever the clothing stores put on the rack, guess what? You're going to be wearing some things you're going to regret 10, 20 years down the line when you have a girlfriend who does not love Jesus and does not really care about you, but just cares about your body. Or, and same thing with females, okay? If your standards are whatever is on the rack, well, guess what? That guy that's just looking at your body doesn't care about the real you, which is your face and your inner person, your inner man, as Jesus says, guess what? You're going to be regretting you pick those styles. Okay? You're going to attract the wrong kind of person with immodest clothing. How do we attract the right kind of person? A godly girl, a godly guy. How do you attract that? How do you attract them?
Wearing modest clothes.
Wearing modest clothes. Why? What are they going to be drawn to when they see you?
Your
face and your personality and the inner man of you, which is going after the Spirit of God. Going after God's Holy Spirit. That's what we need to do. Okay, so the same thing with girls' clothing fashions. That just because your friends at school wear something that's too short or too tight or too low or too high, guess what? You wear something like that, you may fit in at the moment, but you're going to regret it when some guy gives you attention that down the road, 10, 20 years down the road, you're going to say, what happened to me? Why do I have children out of wedlock? Why is my home a shambles? I imagined a loving family of you know, me and my husband and some kids and a stable home environment. Now I've got to collect child support and he's not paying. All because it started with lustful clothing. Wearing clothing that was not modest. Yeah, that's where you'll be down the road if you stay in that. And so Jesus warns us, it's not about the lust of the eyes. Just because we see it does not mean we have to have it. Jesus said, Satan said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Satan wants to give you things. Bank on it. He wants to give you things. But the things that Satan wants to give you will only destroy you. He wants to give you short-term pleasures. He wants to say, oh yeah, you'll have this relationship and everything. No, you're going to have that relationship and you're going to have many, many problems. You could possibly get diseases, transmitted diseases, etc. And so we've got to look at the long-term picture. How did Jesus respond to Satan's temptation of the lust of the eyes? Verse 10, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So how does Jesus give us victory over the lust of our eyes? Well, our eyes, oh, I've got to have that. Oh, I've got to have this. Oh, I've got to be like them. How does Jesus give us victory over the lust of the eyes? Instead of looking at the things or the people, who should we look at? God. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You keep your eyes on God, not on the lust of the eyes. And guess what? God is going to give you that fruitful Christian life. God's going to give you that wonderful family someday. You know, if that's His will for you, He'll give you that wonderful family someday. And you won't have to regret making this decision, that decision, the other decision along the way. Why? Because you kept your eyes not on the lusts that everyone else is looking at, but you kept them on Jesus. You kept them on God. If you're not saved today, God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God says that we are all sinners. There's not one of us here today that's not a sinner. God says we have all become guilty before God. Our feet are swift to shed blood. Our mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Our works are toward depravity. We are depraved through and through. God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God says the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Death. Death where? In hell. God says that not just the first death. Some people say, oh, well, I know I'm going to die. No, it's not the first death. It's the second death. The second death is in the lake of fire for all eternity. So God says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't want to follow Satan to hell. He's going to get thrown into the lake of fire one day. He's going to have his just desserts. You can see his mentality towards you. This is Satan's mentality toward you. See that expression on his face? I think the visual, the artist did a good job. That's Satan's expression toward you. One of taking you down and then laughing at you as you get thrown into hell with him. If you don't know Christ as Savior, as a Christian, he's laughing at us when we sin against God. He's laughing at us. He hates us. And so let us not let Satan have any victory in our life. Satan says that for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God sent his son Jesus to die in your place. You don't have to die in your sins today and go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. If you had a car accident on the way home, where would you be? Do you know 100% for sure that if you had a car accident on the way home, you'd be up in heaven because you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Or would you say, I don't know. I really don't know. Well, right now, you're in the devil's hands, and he's got you right where he wants you if you don't know Christ the Savior. But God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. Jesus went to that. Not only did he withstand these temptations, it says that after those three temptations of Satan, which were very real and very, very, very taxing on the human body, that God sent his angels to minister to Jesus. And that was the end of the 40 days of fasting, so they gave him bread. So Jesus was ministered to. And then about 3 years later, Jesus went to the cross of Calvary for you and for me to die on that old rugged cross and to shed his blood for you and for me. So if you were to leave this place without being saved, without knowing Christ as your Savior, you're doing it over the shed blood and the broken body of Jesus. He wants you to be saved today. He wants you to realize, hey, my sins are taking me to hell. I need to repent of them. Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel. So repent means to change your mind. I don't want the sin anymore. The sin's taking me to hell. I want Jesus who died on the cross for me. And believing on him in your heart, to ask him to come into your heart and save you. Let's go to Romans 10 and verse 9 as we close this message. Romans 10 and verse 9. Everyone turn there. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. We see some wonderful verses that it's not too late for you to get the devil out of your life and to let God have your life to be saved. Romans 10 and verse 9, it says that if thou, you can put your name right in there, put your name right in that blank, that if thou shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. That means you're going to pray a prayer. And shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So what are you praying? You're praying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I deserve judgment in a place called hell. Please save me. I come into my heart and save me. I know that you died on that cross for me. You hung there 6 whole hours and bled and died for me. And then they put your body in the grave and 3 days later you rose again for me. You put your name in there. For verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So God says something happens when you pray that prayer and believe in your heart on the Lord that you are now making that salvation decision. You are now making that instantaneous decision to trust Christ as your Savior. You are now being passed from death unto life. Verse 11, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, The world today is trying to tell you, oh, you have your God, but I have my God, and we all have different religions, and so everyone's got the same religion, different religions of equal value. Guess what? There are not different religions of equal value in the world. There is only one true religion, and the rest are false. There's only one true worship. There's only one true God. The rest are false. When the world wants to make a point about anything, who do they make it through? They always invoke Jesus into it. Whenever they want to make a point about things, and whenever they want to say, oh, this is true, they invoke Jesus and God. They don't invoke Muhammad. They don't invoke Buddha. They don't invoke Confucius and Tao and the other religions of the world. No, they invoke Jesus and God. Why? Because they are the only names with authority. And there is only one true God. It's not many different religions and many different ways to heaven. It's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And so here he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. If you will just call him in your heart, he will save you. He'll wash your sins away, and he will write down your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed. As we close this service today, every head bowed, every eye closed. As you're here in these seats today, no one's looking around. You say, Pastor Rice, you know, I'm not 100% sure. If I were to die today, whether I'm going to heaven or to hell, I don't really know for sure. But I want to get that settled. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you see it. Say, Pastor Rice, pray for me. I don't know for sure. If I were to die today, if I'd be in the devil's hands or in God's hands. But I want to know for sure. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you see it. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. No one's looking around. You don't have to be worried someone's going to be looking at you. No one's looking around. Just raise up your hand. Say, you know, Pastor Rice, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Is there anyone like that? Is there anyone like that? As a Christian, okay, I see those hands. As a Christian, you say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved, but the devil, I've been giving the devil inroads into my life lately with one of those three things at least, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And I don't want that to happen anymore. I want to confess some things to the Lord today. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Quickly, quiet, right there, receive it. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I've given the devil inroads into my life in one of those three areas. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. But I don't want the devil to take that over anymore. I'm asking the Lord to help me today to withstand the temptation. And I'm going to confess some sin to him. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Quickly, quietly. Amen, amen. I see those hands. Amen, amen. Are you being honest with the Lord this afternoon? You're not struggling at all? If you are, be honest and say, Lord, help me. I need your help. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you're seated. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be reminded of Jesus' victory over temptation and how he gives to each one of us the same chance of victory through the Word of God, through repeating the Scriptures as we get bombarded by the devil. Lord, help us to make wise decisions in junior high, high school, elementary. Lord, help each one of these young people to make wise decisions, to make good friends, and to help people get saved and get out of sin, not go into sin. Lord, I pray you just work in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, this time we'll have our Olympic competition. The six leaders come on up, and we'll do one after another of different categories. Alright, we'll start with Brother Blondo.
This was for the frisbee toss.
Here you go.
All right, frisbee toss. We have 4th through 6th grade girls. We have for third place, we have a tie, Holly Rice and Grace. Grace. No, Karis. Carrington High was a seven feet, third place. Let's see, then we had. There's Ty. Yes. Then Brielle. Brielle. Am I saying it right? Briella? Yes. No, they were third.
They were third. They
were third. Second was Briella. Second. And then Zion. Zion was first.
Yeah, Zion.
The 4 through 6 guys. First place was little guy. Got it from Messiah. He was first place. First. That was only two guys, and then Stefan.
Okay.
Stefano, is that what it is?
Stefan.
There he is.
So what you want to do is write what event that you were in. We didn't have time to do that. So write the event you got it in when as soon as you get a chance on there.
All right, now we have 7th through 9th grade girls. Let's see. Guys in the same spot. Third place was Grace Hall.
Here's some pens that they would write it right here.
Second was Molly. The first was Isabella.
What event is this?
Frisbee. And then guys, 7 through 9. Let's see. Third was Stephen Altamari. And Paul Rice was tied. And Paul Rice was tied also for third place.
Steven,
was third.
Right frisbee toss. That way
Jacob Kinsey was first for 29. And second was Tom Jacoby. Right now it's 10th through 12th. Third place was Kaylee. Second was Abigail. Then Aubrey. First place. And then, yeah, one guy for the 10th through 12th grade was Roy.
Oh!
Okay, this is for the wiffle ball. Okay, so we'll start with 10th to 12th grade guys. The only one, Roy, don't sit down. Roy, come on back. Roy hit it from 38 feet. Okay. Okay, for the girls. That's first and only. Okay, for the girls. 10th to 12th grade girls, we have in third place Aubrey with 1 foot. Okay. Kaylee is in second place with 2 feet. And in first place we have Abigail with
3 feet.
No. We have Abigail with 39 feet.
Yeah.
Okay. We have 7th and 9th grade girls. In 3rd place, we have Ava. 37 feet. Second place, with 45 feet, we have Raina. Raina. Okay. It's going to rain out on your parade. No. And in first place, we have, with 63 feet, Savon. Savon. I spelled it right. I pronounced it wrong. Okay. Okay. Okay, guys, in 7th and 9th, 3rd place, we have Paul with 62 feet. Now we got, in 2nd place with 84 feet, we have John. And then we have Bryce Harper with 86 feet. Steve Alcavari. Okay. See, stick to the violin. Don't ruin those fingers. Okay, guys, in 5th to 6th, we have a 2nd place Stefano with 45 feet. Then we have, in 1st place with 57 feet, we got Messiah. Okay, now we got the 4th to 6th grade girls. In 3rd place, we have, with 44 feet. Who? Take a guess. Come on, take a guess.
Azaria,
yep. 44 feet. Now, with our 2nd place with 46 feet. Can we take a guess? 46 feet?
No.
Blessing.
Blessing.
46 feet.
And there's Zion.
God bless you. Right on their home run derby.
And then in 1st place with 76 feet. 76 feet. Okay, now, the guys were 84 and 86. This is pretty close. 76 feet. In 1st place, we have Zion.
Okay, we'll go with the basketball shots. So we'll start out with the 4th to 6th grade girls. In 3rd place, we have Zamora. 7 shots in 1 minute.
Right on there, basketball.
2nd place is Azaria. And in 1st place was Zion. Okay, then the guys from 4th to 6th grade, in 3rd place, we have Stefano. Second place, we have Messiah. And in 1st is Tyler. Okay, 7th to 9th grade girls. In third place, we have a tie between Ava and Grace. Second place, Molly. And in first place is Ella. And for the guys in 7th and 9th, we have in 3rd, Jacob. Come on up, Jacob. In 2nd place is Stephen. And 1st place, John. And then in 10th to 12th, girls. In 3rd place, we have Aubrey. Second place is Abigail. And 1st place, Kaylee. And then finally for the guys, 10th to 12th. We have a tie for first. Two guys, it's Darnell and Roy.
Now we have the marathon run.
Right.
Some of the girls were showing up the guys in the marathon. Anyway, with the 4th through 6th grade, the girls, 3rd place, we have Karis with 2 minutes 14 seconds. 2 minutes and 14 seconds. Good job. 2nd place is Zion. She had 1 minute 34 seconds.
Right marathon.
That was really
good. 1
minute and
34 seconds. Zion, you want to write marathon?
And then 1st place was Zamora. She beat her by 2 seconds.
Yeah. So. Yeah, Zamora!
For the guys, we have 2nd place with Tyler. He had 2 minutes and 23 seconds. And 1st place. 1st place is Messiah with 1 minute 51. All right, 7th through 9th grade, the girls. 3rd place was Ella with 2 minutes and 12 seconds. Good job, Ella. Then 2nd place, we had Alex with 1 minute 59. Good job, Alex. And 1st place was Molly with 1 minute 39 seconds. Good job. For the guys, we have 3rd place. Tom got 3rd place, 1 minute and 46 seconds. So, Tommy, you got 3rd. You got 3rd. 2nd place was John with 1 minute and 35 seconds. Good job, John. And our fastest time was a 7th through 9th grader. It goes to Jonathan with 1 minute 31 seconds. Wow. Beat them all by 1 second. Good job, John.
He's got legs.
I'm a little disappointed in the 10th through 12th graders. Only one of them competed. So she gets 1st place, and that would be Abigail Robin. 2 minutes 15 seconds. Great, yeah. Them all up.
Yeah.
translations, and I have the, this is for the softball throw. So in the 4th through 6th grade girls, 3rd place is Briella. 2nd place is Karis. And Karis threw it 5 feet past that mark, so just add 50 feet to this, because I moved that mark around 50 feet. And then in number, in the first place is Azaria at 13 and a half feet. Okay, and now in the guys, grades 4 through 6, in 3rd place is Stefano at 10 and a half feet. 2nd place is Messiah at 43 feet. And in 1st place is Tyler at 72 feet. Yeah. Okay, now in the, this is grade 7 through 9, the girls. So girls 7 through 9, in 3rd place we have Molly Kinsey at 47 feet. Zion at almost 51 feet. Zion? Oh. Wait a minute, Hank Tight, you're in 6th grade?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, Hank Tight, so let me figure this out. She would, okay, so you're in 6th grade, you said?
Yeah.
Alright, so that would actually qualify as an additional first place ribbon. So do we have an extra first place ribbon that we can give her? Alright, and then in the grade 7 through 9, the first place is Ava at 61 feet. Yeah. Alright, and for the guys, alright, this is a tight competition. 3rd place is Tommy Jacoby at 86 feet. Yeah. In 2nd place was Steven at 101 feet. In the 2nd place, yep. And in 1st place, at 109 feet, is John. Alright, and for the girls, grades 10 through 12, in 3rd place is Kaylee at 7 feet. 2nd place is Abigail at 42 feet. And in 1st place is Aubrey at 54 feet. And for the guys, in 1st place is Roy at 69 feet. Congratulations, Roy.
All right, for the long jump. Long jump, we'll start with 4th through 6th grade.
Oh, wait,
4th through 6th grade girls, 3rd place Rachel. Second place Lydia. Long jump. 1st place Zion. Good job. Guys, 4th through 6th place, 3rd place Stefano. Long jump. This is long jump. 2nd place, Messiah. 1st place, Tyler. Right. 7th through 9th, girls. Long jump. 3rd place, Molly. 3rd place, Molly. 2nd place, Grace. 7 foot 9. 1st place was 9 feet 11 inches. She beat everybody except one of the guys. Bella, 9 feet 11 inches. Guys, 7 through 9. 3rd place, Jacob. 3rd place, Jacob. 2nd place, Paul. Right. 1st place, John, with 11 feet 7 inches. 11 foot 7 inches. Paul got 8 feet. This is 2nd place for you. Yep. All right, and John got first with 11-7. 10th through 12th graders, third place, Kaylee. Second place, Aubrey. First place, Abigail with 9 feet. Jump. Abigail, good job. Guys, 10th through 12th, third place, Keith, come on up, third place, good job. Long jump, good job.
She jumped 10 feet.
Who's this? Harris. Right down there, here you go. Harris. Yeah, second place, Roy. First place, Darnell. All right, that's the 10 through 12 graders. All right, good job.
I don't have anything for Harris, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Not sure. Yeah, I don't have anything for her. Was there another form? All right, let's give her a third place. Give Kara. No, Zion had 9 feet. No, it wasn't 10. No. Well, yeah, we'll give her a second.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, now let's go outside to the around the side of the church where the cross is. We're going to take a group picture. Let's all line up out there. And we'll get our photographers. Brian,